is Christian Questions.
Elaine Elias Freeman once said, "Angels shine from without because of their spirits are lit from within by the light of God." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions. Talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
And you can contact us at our website. That's ChristianQuestions.net.
So on behalf of myself, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Jonathan, what is our topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, what about angels? Our theme text is found in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
See that? You asked this nice question. What about angels? And then the next word's out of your mouth. What about Satan? Oh, come on. Here's the thing, Jonathan. Many people believe in angels, and a surprising number of people believe that there are ways for us to communicate with them. Well, what is an angel? If they're real, where do they come from? What business do angels have with us? Are all angels good? Can we really communicate with them, or is that just not a good idea? Do angels play a role in protecting us? Can we in any way give them instruction or direction? Should we pray to them? Are angels people who have gone to heaven? Too many questions.
Wow, that's for sure.
Folks, stay with us this morning as we delve into a topic that's not only fascinating, but I think a little bit scary as well. And that is the topic of angels. And Jonathan, it's real simple. Let's begin with the question, what are angels? That's really where we want to get started here. An interesting thing, the word for angel in the Old Testament and the New Testament, literally the word means a messenger.
Okay.
Somebody who is sent as a representative of somebody else.
That has a mission.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So if you are a representative, you've got, our government is full of angels. Wait a minute. People can look at that a lot of different ways, I think, huh?
Yes.
But they are representatives of the people. They are supposed to be delivering the people's message. So, and it's most often, the words are most often used in the Bible to describe messengers of God. Let's look at a couple of examples of that.
Well, first, the Old Testament, Psalms 34, verses 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
All right, so the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. That's a comforting scripture.
It is.
Let's look at another one.
New Testament, Luke Chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in age." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news."
So we have an example from the Old Testament and an example from the New Testament on angels. And angel of the Lord encamping around us gives us comfort and security. And then in the New Testament, you see that messenger thing really happening.
For sure.
Because Gabriel says he's talking to Zacharias,
saying, "Your wife is going to have a child in her old age."
And Zacharias is going, "Wait, what are you kidding?" and the angel says, "Look, I stand before God. I know where I got the message. I'm delivering the message. So this is something very, very important." So there's a lot in terms of trying to understand angels. Let's go to a soundbite from a program called Saved by Angels. It was one of those Science Channel programs, and this is just sort of an introductory excerpt from that program.
Do angels exist? Well, according to a Time magazine survey, more than two-thirds of all Americans believe that they do. Skeptics argue that angelic visions are simply the brain replaying unconscious images absorbed through pop culture. For that reason, accounts of angelic visions by very young children take on greater significance. Their visions have not been polluted by the media, and what they are seeing is extraordinary.
And we'll get into a little bit of that later on, but He gives us some interesting statistics. That's hard to say at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
Over two-thirds of Americans believe in angels. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty strong majority.
Yep.
But skeptics say that angelic visions are just the brain replaying unconscious images found in pop culture. We see things. We have a difficult or traumatic experience. And so our mind goes back to those things that we've seen, and it creates a response.
Gotcha. Well, if you just tuned in, this is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our question this morning, what about angels? And check us out at our website, christianquestions.net, and Facebook. We have Facebook up.
We do, and we also have a blog on christianquestions.net. So you want to look into those things. Jonathan, now, as we most people believe in angels.
Yes.
So, folks, if you have a thought, what is your thought on angels? Have you had experiences with angels? Do you have a sense of what do you think angels are? What do they do? How do they interact with us? Give us a call.
Call us toll-free at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now.
All right. So, angels. We're talking about angels. What are angels? So, the word in the Old and New Testament means a messenger.
That's right.
And most of the time, that word is used to describe messengers or spiritual messengers of God.
But not always?
Well, and that's the thing. Not always. And that's how we know, really, we get a sense of the word, because we can see how it's used in other ways. Let's look at a few examples of that. Messengers sent by human beings with good intention. Messengers now. This is Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 and 15.
Moses then sent messengers to the king of Edom. Thus your brother Israel has said, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, that our fathers went down to Egypt, and we stayed in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians treated us and our fathers badly.
All right, so here you have the exact same word as in the Psalm scripture that you read earlier, the angel of the Lord encamps around us.
Mm-hmm.
It says Moses then sent messengers.
Gotcha.
It's the same word, but a very, very different sense of the word, because when we think of the word angel, we think of something spiritual.
Yes.
Although a lot of people talk about other people as, hey, you know, that's my angel.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a sense of sort of humanizing it, but for the most part, we think of angel as something spiritual and powerful, and here the same word is used. Moses sent people to talk to other people.
How about messengers sent by humans for bad intention?
Okay, so Moses had a good intention. He's asking permission to cross over somebody else's land. That's his intention. I'm going to send out messengers so they'll ask permission for us, for me. He's saying, you know, I'm sending them in my stead. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2.
Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.
How'd you like to get a message like that?
Oh, it's a death sentence.
That's right. It was a death threat. It absolutely was, from the queen, Jezebel. They had just had the very dramatic standoff between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. What was it, 450-1 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were supposed to be calling gods down to bring
fire from heaven,
or water or something. Fire.
Fire, yep.
And they couldn't do it. And Elijah not only it's dramatic. And then he kills them all. And so Jezebel, the queen, sends a messenger to Elijah saying, you're dead meat. that's what she said, okay? I'm just sort of translating a little bit, but that's it. So you have, a messenger sent to deliver a message. This is important, and the reason we're taking some time on this, as you see as we unfold this topic, is it's going to be important to understand how angels work. This gives us a hint, actually, as to what to expect from angels. And, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear from you. Our topic is, what about angels?
And our website is christianquestions.net.
And if you do have a thought, but you don't want to talk on the phone, you can certainly email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Rick at christianquestions.net. Jonathan, one more example of human messengers, now this time sent by God.
Ah, interesting.
So we've had human messengers sent by other people for good reasons, human messengers sent by other people for bad reasons, and now human messengers sent by God.
And Rick, this is a prophecy describing John the Baptist and Jesus. And let's read Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
So it mentions messenger twice in that scripture.
It does.
And the first time it says, I'm going to send my messenger, he will clear the way before me.
Right. That's John the Baptist. He did. And he announced
the
Messiah.
Right. So this is a prophecy from God calling a human being his messenger.
Right.
So, and then it talks about the messenger of the covenant, which is Jesus.
Yes.
So Jesus is delivering the message of the covenant, of this new covenant that's going to come to be. So it's interesting to see that the word actually has a lot of different shades of meaning, but they all come back to the same thing. Somebody working for somebody else. So the general guidelines of a messenger, there's three basic guidelines I think that we can learn here.
And Rick, the first would be under the authority of the one who sent them.
All right, now
it could be for good or bad.
Right. It doesn't matter the intention.
Right.
What matters is the authority.
And also given a specific task to accomplish.
So now if you're under the authority of somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and you're given a very specific thing to do, it gives a sense of they have more power than you do in this particular portion of life, and you are only going to present what you were told to present.
And Rick, the third point we want to bring out, there's no inherent power to alter the task given.
And I think this is important. And why are we taking all this time on this? Because! Because in order to understand angels, spiritual angels.
We're talking about a different realm.
Right.
It's hard.
It is. It's hard. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us.
That's right.
They're faster than us. They're better than us. They're smarter than us. So we're talking about something that is beyond us. And we are given a surprising amount of information to be able to digest from the Bible. But we're not given all of the answers.
You're right.
So as we start with sort of a basic, laying out some basic guidelines of messengers, what we're going to do then is begin to apply those basic guidelines to the messengers of God. And that will help us to understand it, because the word is not going to change its inherent meaning. Just we have to change the application. So an angel, whenever you hear the word angel, you need to think of
a messenger.
A messenger. It's really that simple, but it really isn't. And that's the thing. We think it might be simple, but we think it might not be simple. Angels are messengers. Hopefully we got that point across. Angels are important, and we're told a lot about angels.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, and we're talking about what about angels? Do guardian angels take on different forms? Our next soundbite has a definite opinion.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. And our question this morning, what about angels? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now.
So what do you think about angels? Have you a specific set of experiences, or have you heard something, or any questions about it? Not that we have all the answers, I'll tell you that right now, but we certainly would love to hear from you on angels. Again, it's 866-985-4255. Jonathan, we're really going to begin to look now at what form do angels take,
mm-hmm.
and what forms, I should say, plural. Before we get into that, though, this is one of those subjects, and we're going to run into this a lot, I think, as time goes on, that is just too big for a two-hour program.
It is, you're right.
So, folks, we want to encourage encourage you to go to our website, christianquestions.net, and check out CQ Rewind, and encourage you to sign up for the full edition. It's an email that comes to you once a week. We'll have an attachment for a PDF file that will not only have the scriptures that we're using and some of the text and comments and so forth, but it's going to have some bonus material at the end that expands some of the things we just don't have time to get into. It is a free service. We really would encourage you to avail yourself of that. I think you'll like it. So,
all right.
Now, let's get into what forms do angels take. We're going to go to another soundbite. This one is from the CBS Early Show. It was an interview with Ed Brennan, who's the editor for Guideposts Magazine. And it's about guardian angels. Now, specifically, we've been talking about angels in general. He's going to be talking a little bit about guardian angels and his take on them.
We were talking earlier, you make a good point that, you know, angels come in many different forms. It's not just necessarily a bright light on a picture.
I would say that most of the stories that we hear from our readers are not necessarily full-fledged visions of angelic winged beings. Sometimes it could be something like a breeze that comes through a window and turns the page of a book to the words that you needed to see at just that point in your life. It can be a stranger in the subway who looks at you like your makeup artist was telling me today during a very difficult time in her life. A complete stranger just looked up at her and said, "It's going to be all right."
Oh, yeah.
And then he disappeared.
And then you feel better. Edward Grinnan, thank you very much.
So there's some interesting things there. Because normally when you think of an angel from God, you think of white, clothed in white.
With wings.
With wings.
Yeah.
But here he's saying, well, angels could take on many forms, like a breeze or even in the form of a stranger that gives you a word of encouragement. What do you think? Give us a call, 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and we'd love to hear your take, your opinion on angels.
And our website is christianquestions.net.
All right, let's get into a few more scriptures here to just help us understand the forms that angels take.
Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it.
Wow, that's one of those statements you go, whoa.
Yeah.
You mean an angel went to their house? Yeah, pretty much.
Possibly.
and we actually have an example of that in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 3.
Now the Lord appeared to him while he was sitting at the tent of the door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent of the door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by."
So this is Abraham.
Yes.
And he is being visited by these individuals.
It says three men, though.
It says three men, but they were angels.
That's right.
They were
there for a mission, weren't they?
Right. And that's the point. They were there to deliver a message. Now, the message was one that was hard to believe, because we talked about Zacharias briefly earlier.
Right.
And here's Abraham and his wife Sarah. They're both old. I mean, they're not just getting on in years. They're not just senior. They're not just AARP candidates. They're old. All right. They're old.
One's 100, the other's 90.
Yeah. And they're told you're going to have a son. And, you know, and we know that Sarah laughs when she hears this. So it took these angels from God to show them this message. So you can see that angels have appeared in human form in the Bible.
Proof positive.
Right there. Okay. So, and it's interesting that Abraham wasn't afraid of them, but he accepted them, and he was showing great hospitality. And I think that's what the Hebrew scripture was talking about.
Yes, that's right.
They were strangers. And in those days, now you tell your kids, never talk to a stranger. See, in those days, a stranger's coming through, and you invite them in, and you take care of them, and you show them hospitality, because it's something that shows them that they're on the same level as you are, so to speak. And Abraham was entertaining angels, and then he didn't even know it.
If you have a thought about angels, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
So we see that angels have taken human form, and that shows up a number of times in the Bible. We're obviously not going to go through all of those things, but you can find those things on CQ Rewind. Go to the website, sign up for the full edition. It is a free service. Let's go to another soundbite, Jonathan. This one comes from a program called In the Presence of Angels, put out by Champion Entertainment, and they talk about a number of different instances where people say, well, angels appeared.
This is interesting.
This is interesting. Let's listen to this one.
I've been up here for more than a year, and I've had at least four different patients' families tell me about the nurses. One of patients' families actually tried to reach out and touch, and she said when she went to reach out to touch, there was nothing there. And when she got up to look down the hall because she wanted to talk to the nurse, this nurse wasn't anywhere to be found on the floor.
So this was at a hospice type of a facility.
Okay.
I don't know if it was hospice specifically. But this woman worked there for about a year, and she said she had at least four different families tell her about the nurses. And there's these two nurses that seem to appear and then disappear. Appear to those people who are dying and then and check on them, so to speak, and then disappear.
Wow.
Are they angels? What are they? This inquiring mind wants to know. See, there's a lot of these things that are hard to figure out. Again, though, as we go through this and we sort of begin to put it in perspective, just touch on the theme scripture again just for a second here.
Okay, and that's 2 Corinthians 11:14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Putting that out, we'll get to that later in the program, most likely in the second hour, but just putting that out as a warning to just not accept everything hook, line, and sinker. Okay, that's what we'll say here. Let's continue looking at the forms that angels appear in. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 through 6. And of course, Daniel was a very, very, very faithful servant of God.
I lifted mine eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded, and a belt of pure gold. His body was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms felt like the gleam of polished brass, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult.
So you have Daniel talking about appearing. A man appears to him. But this man did not have the normal human features in the normal ways. He says he's dressed in linen. His body was like a beryl, a gem.
Right. It's a green gem.
And his face had the appearance of lightning. So it must have been incredibly bright. His eyes were like flaming. That's no man. So it's got the sort of the bodily form of a man.
But supernatural features.
Right. So here is the appearance of an angel that sort of mixes the human form with these features that are just – that obviously are not human. So that's another way that angels have appeared, and we have Daniel as the testimony for that. Let's go to another scripture, Matthew 28, verses 2 to 4.
And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men.
So this is a fearsome view, and this was obviously at the tomb of Jesus upon his resurrection.
Right.
So this angel comes and moves this stone, which obviously takes more than just human strength of one person.
Right. But he appeared in this dazzling light, pure white.
And again, it uses the appearance was like lightning. And when you say that, you know, you've got to understand, I think when they're talking about the appearance like lightning, it's talking about an appearance of incredible brightness. Not flashing, you know, like a neon sign. Whoop, whoop. Not like that. but an incredible brightness about their countenance and clothing as white as snow. And it overtook the guards of the tomb. And they were like, they became paralyzed. It was like, paralyzed with fear.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. We're talking about angels. And if you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And if you don't want to call, but you'd like to talk with us, you can do that a number of ways. First of all, you can email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net, Rick at christianquestions.net. Or you can go to our blog and give some of your thoughts and inputs there. And go to the website, christianquestions.net. You can check us out on Facebook as well.
Awesome.
So
our conversation doesn't end here, Rick.
No.
It continues on.
It continues
on our website at christianquestions.net.
We're always talking at the website here. So let's look at, Jonathan, one more scripture, and then we'll go to the phones here in terms of angels and appearances.
In the year of King
Uzziah's death.
I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, and two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
So here we have an angel appearing in this vision as a multi-winged creature. Not just two wings, the way
six
of them.
Wow.
So we can see that angels have appeared in a lot of different ways just through the scriptures.
Yeah. Now, the question is, why the wings? Is it to teach us that they can go to and fro in the atmosphere? Do you think it's for our benefit, or do you think they really have them?
Well, that's a good question. Let's leave that one out on the table for now, and we'll come back to that later on. Let's go to the phones, though.
All right. We have Jerry from Tennessee. Good morning, Jerry, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. Woke up early.
Well, good. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're here. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I have seen angels three different times, and I felt their presence throughout my life. But the last time I saw angels, I saw three, and they were beautiful. I was in church, and two of them, they had beautiful golden hair and turquoise eyes, and they had these long wings. And so, I wasn't expecting to see them. There they were. And so, it was like that they were really enjoying being in the church. You know, they were kind of smiling and seemed like they were talking to one another. And the two that were the closest to me, I thought to myself, well, I wonder if I have two little boys that are in heaven. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder if that's Ricky and James Andrew. And so the one closest to me gave me the sweetest smile. And I know that's probably not biblical, but that's what my thoughts were. And the other one looked like an older angel, but he looked like someone that was really old but really good, had taken really good care of himself, but he didn't have wings.
Okay.
And it was just amazing. It was the most wonderful experience. It's hard to describe.
It sounds like it gave you a lot of comfort.
Oh, it did. It did. And at the time, I was going through some things, and that was just a wonderful way, I think, of showing God's concern for me.
All right, well, Jerry, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great day.
I will. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So here we have an example of somebody who has seen a vision of angels themselves and drew great comfort from it. Now, what is that? I don't know. You know, are those real beings in the room? Is that a vision? Is that something? You know, those are the kinds of questions that you have to ask with this kind of subject, because it's a big subject, but obviously you could hear the enthusiasm in her voice as she describes
yes.
it. So, and it was meaningful for her.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things we need to understand, is these things are, when they happen to people, when people do see a vision, quote unquote, of angels, oftentimes it really changes their lives. Now, from the Bible, you know, she said, you know, she doesn't know that this is biblical.
Right,
okay?
Right.
From the Bible, one of the things we conclude is that angels don't appear in the likeness of people that we knew.
Okay.
The Bible does not give us any indication of that. All right.
And Interesting. Angels never appeared in a female form, Rick.
According to Scripture.
Right.
And you see a lot of pictures of angels in a female form these
right,
days.
Right.
Okay. And as a matter of fact, I would say more than half of the pictures of angels are female, but the Scriptures don't give us that as a guideline, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the other thing about angels, Jonathan, got to say this before this break.
What?
Angels never in the Scriptures appeared like Cupid. You know that chubby little baby with the arrows?
Yeah.
That's not a biblical picture of angels. It's just not. It's cute and it's fun, but it's not biblical.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our main question, what about angels? Next up, we ask, what do angels do, and do people become angels?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. And our question this morning, what about angels? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, in our last segment, we talked about what forms angels take. We've seen them take human forms. We've seen them take sort of human forms. We've seen them take angelic forms with wings and all of that.
And we heard a soundbite about it may be a breeze.
So there's a lot of perspectives on the forms that angels take. There's some biblical perspectives that I'm going to really bank on. And,
yes.
then there's the perspectives of everybody else that we're going to say, okay, what about these? And really, I want to make sure we make that distinction. Just because we're going to play a soundbite that says this or that, it doesn't mean that, hey, that's the gospel truth.
You're right.
We're going to especially with a subject like this, we're going to rely on the gospel truth as coming from the book where the gospel is.
Yes.
And that's the Bible. It gives us a lot of information. So now let's go to what do angels do? We have a lot of examples of what they do. And folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what angels do or your experiences. Give us a call and let us know.
And our website is christianquestions.net. We're always talking on CQ.net, christianquestions.net. Keep the conversation going. We'd love to hear from you.
And there's a number of ways to do that. Facebook, the blog, rick@christianquestions.net if you want to email us. Let's get to angels worship and praise God. Now, we read just a few minutes ago Isaiah 6 verses 1 through 3, talking about the vision that Isaiah saw of the seraphim. Jonathan, just go back to verse 3 because this is about angels worshiping and praising God.
And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
So that's part of what angels do. And there's a number of other scriptures that talk about them praising God. We just picked that one because it gives a sense of a heavenly vision and putting God certainly far above everyone and everything else. And that's going to become much more important as we go through this program.
Yes, it is. And Rick, angels also minister. Let's read Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?"
So it's talking about, the apostle is talking about angels, and he's saying no, none of these angels have been given the same opportunity that Jesus was given.
Right.
He said, but they are ministering spirits sent to take care of, to deliver, because they're messengers, to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So it sounds like angels are sent for those, for specific individuals there.
Yeah, those followers of Jesus.
Right. Okay, and again, we'll unfold that part as we go through the program. So they worship and praise God, and they minister. And again, these things become important because, folks, here's the thing. There are good angels, and there are bad angels.
And we better be careful.
And that's one of the reasons we want to tread carefully through this particular subject. How do you tell a good angel from a bad angel? All of these things that we're going through here give us the scriptural principles to figure that out.
And remember, our theme text in 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
And that, again, is going to come into play in a greater way later on in the program as this develops. Angels deliver God's messages. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11.
In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened.
And oftentimes when you see angels appear like an angel with the wings and all of that, it's a frightful thing.
Sure.
Because it's a power that is so far beyond us, and that's why the shepherds were afraid.
Absolutely. It's unnatural.
Yeah.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord."
So you have this angel saying to them the first thing, hey, don't be afraid. I am delivering good news. It's not my good news. It's the good news from God that today is born Jesus, who is the Savior of all men. So angels worship and praise God. They minister. They deliver God's messages. Let's go to one more scripture, then we'll go to the phones.
Acts 8, 26 through 28. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza."
So an angel is literally almost doing a GPS thing here.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay? He's saying to Philip, go south, go to this specific place, and so the scripture says, so he got up and went.
That's right.
And then let's continue.
And there was a Ethiopian eunuch, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah.
So Philip is sent on his way on a very specific mission to find this very specific individual to convert him to Christ.
That's right.
So the angel gave directions.
He did indeed.
So you've got worshiping, ministering, delivering God's messages, and giving instructions. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I love a Bible study. You know, I could be in bed or doing other things this morning, but I prefer to study the Bible with you. What about angels? And I think I agree you correctly define an angel as a messenger, and they are multitask. They play a variety of roles, always under God's control. God alone allow them to go so far for a specific mission. In a sense, I hope I sound modest and not pretentious when I say that Jonathan and Rick every Sunday morning play the role of angels in terms of you sharing a message with us from God. That scripture you read from Hebrews 1:14, I had that in mind already. I hope you weren't looking at my notes, were you? Yeah. So they do God's bidding, they do God's will, and always under his control. And those that have turned sour, as they did at the flood, at the time of the flood, God, they are held under restraint right now. In fact, Peter as well as Jude says they're in darkness or in prison, whatever. But in any case, I believe in angels. They're powerful. They have a role to play. And I pray that I'm worthy to be protected by one, naturally. The guardian angel, right?
Yes.
You believe in that. One final thing. Jonathan, mentioned a breeze.
Yes.
The wind. That's biblical. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verse 8. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
So Julius is talking about angels coming from God with specific missions, doing God's bidding, doing God's will under his control. And it's not like they're robots, but they are coming to do something very specific. And I think that's the sense that we're beginning to get as we look at the scriptures.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, and our subject, what about angels? So if you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-FOR-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And, of course, if you don't want to talk on the phone, you can email us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. You know, folks, if you get the idea, this is a conversation, and we're always talking, not only Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, but on the website, through the blog, through Christian Questions blog, which you can find at christianquestions.net, through Facebook, which you can find at christianquestions.net, through the CQ Rewind, which gives you a PDF file with all of these scriptures in the comments with graphics and illustrations, which you can find on christianquestions.net.
And if you agree or not, it's okay. The conversation continues on and we all learn together.
Excellent. So we are looking at what angels do. They worship God. They minister. They deliver God's messages. They direct. They also report to God.
Matthew 18 verse 10 reads, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven."
So it's interesting. The phrase guardian angel is not a phrase you find in the Bible.
But the concept.
The concept of guardian angel you can find.
But right there in Matthew 18.
But the phrase doesn't exist.
That's interesting.
All right, so let's just be sure we understand that as we talk about angels. But here, that's a very tender scripture where Jesus is saying, regard these small children with high esteem because their angels do behold the face of my Father. That's a powerful statement.
Oh, that is.
Of the power and authority that angels have that is so much further beyond where we are. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. Live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. We're on right now. We're talking about angels.
And, Rick, angels deliver individuals at times.
Let's take a look at Acts 5, 17 to 20.
"But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail."
Now, you know, here you are preaching the word of God.
It's good news.
And you end up in jail. That's just not a nice thing to have happen. And you can imagine they're in jail and they know that the gospel is not necessarily welcome because it's so different.
Sure.
But they do it anyway.
Yep.
Because they are messengers of the gospel.
But what happens?
Let's see.
"But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, go, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life."
So an angel of God comes and miraculously opens the gate of the prison and takes them out of the prison and says to them, again, he's delivering God's message, go speak the message of God. Go continue to preach the gospel.
And those that put him in prison were like, how did they get out?
Right.
What are they talking about?
All right, Jonathan, before we end this segment here, we want to ask the question, do people become literal angels? Because a lot of times I think we think that, you know, people become angels. Let's go to our next cut. This is from a movie that I'm sure all of you have seen. It's from the 1946 movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
"Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings."
That's right. That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.
How many times have we heard those words?
I love that movie.
Me too.
It is such an inspiring story.
It is.
And, of course, the story takes place within the context of this angel, Clarence, who doesn't have his wings yet, who was a man.
Was sent to help this guy out.
Right. But the question is, really, that's a wonderful story, and I don't want to take anything away from the story. But the question is, do people become angels? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23.
"But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels."
Okay, so the apostle here is talking about coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and myriads of angels are in the context of this. And then he continues.
"To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all."
So the general assembly and the church of the firstborn are people.
Good point.
So in this scripture, it's talking about coming to myriads of angels and then to those who have been faithful, the church of the firstborn. So if it's talking about them in two separate categories, It means that one doesn't become the other.
Good point.
So I'm so sorry to mess up Clarence's approach to his wings. And again, I still love the story. But the point here, what we're trying to do this morning, folks, is look at angels from the standpoint of trying to get our best understanding of them. Because this is a subject that is way beyond us, first of all, because it's sure. such a spiritual subject. And it's a subject that we need to have great respect for, because there are good angels and there are bad angels. What we want to do this morning is help us to understand the difference between the good angels and the bad angels so that we can focus on the right things. Because if Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, that can't be good news.
No.
So in the second hour, we're going to begin by looking at, well, who has access to angels? How do we get access? Should we have access? What should we do with it, or should we avoid it? Stay with us. This is Jonathan and Rick from Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news and all that. But till then, what about angels? Think about it.
Christian Questions.
Josh Billings once said, "Man was created a little lower than the angels and has been getting lower ever since." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what's the subject for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, what about angels? And our theme text is found in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
So we are talking about angels in the first hour. We looked at appearances of angels, a number of appearances of angels in the Old and New Testament. And what we found out is in every instance, an angel appeared in the scriptures. They did their work and then they left.
Yes, and that word angel in the Old and New Testament basically means a messenger.
So it could be a human.
Yes.
A human being sent by another human being to deliver a good message or a bad message.
Yep.
It could be a human being sent by God to deliver a message.
It could be.
And it could be, and most often is, a spiritual being sent by God to deliver a message.
Right.
So there's a little bit of detail that needs to be absorbed. We found out in the first hour that angels worship God. They minister to those who are following after Jesus. They deliver God's messages. They direct. They report to God. And they deliver people from difficulties upon occasion.
And we also realize the word guardian angel isn't in the Bible, but
right.
there is protection over little ones.
So there's a lot here, and folks, if you'd like to give us your thoughts on angels, if you've had experience with angels or just want to get involved in the conversation, we invite you to do that, 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. It means we're on right now. Jonathan, what are some of the things our listeners need to know about?
If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320. And you can contact us on the web at christianquestions.net. Now, there are many archive programs you can listen to, and if you have any questions or comments, that's the best way to get in touch. Again, that's christianquestions.net. And Rick, now available at our website, CQ Rewind. Have you heard a program recently that you really liked, or for that matter, you didn't like? Would you like to actually see the scriptures and the reasonings that linked those scriptures together? Well, now you can. It's called CQ Rewind. Now, CQ Rewind has two parts. The first, CQ Rewind, is the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcripts, and scriptural citations. Now, that's available on our website as a free download. Now, the second is CQ Rewind Full Edition. That's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts from the program, transcripts, and fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format, full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. You just have to sign up. Now, check them both out at ChristianQuestions.net, CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now, see it as well.
All right, thanks for that. And our subject today is angels. And our question right now is, who has access to angels? And one thing before we get to the soundbite, Jonathan, our next soundbite. Every instance in which angels appeared in the New Testament was directly related to the developing of an infant stage gospel. The gospel was just getting started. And every instance you see angels appear, it's to further the gospel's development.
Because, Rick, Satan was so busy trying to thwart the gospel.
That's right. So God saw fit in certain instances to send angelic intervention so that the gospel would continue.
Yes.
All right. That's the way it was in the New Testament. Now we fast forward 2,000 years, and here we are today. There's two main approaches people take to wanting to access angels. And again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. It means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on accessing angels and what you think about angels in general. What are those the two ways? Let's just list them off, then we'll go to the sound bites.
Teach others how to do it.
Okay, and the other is do it for others.
Right.
Let's listen to a sound bite on each of these. First of all, we're going to listen to Carol Tuttle. She is a master energy therapist, spiritual teacher, and an author, and she also is a Christian. She mentions that. I don't think it's in the sound bite. I just wanted to put that in the context here. And she's talking about teaching others how to access angels.
Today I want to share with you how I receive assistance from angels in my life. I want to make one point perfectly clear, though. I'm not suggesting at all that we pray to angels. And so angels actually serve and help us in a different manner. In my opinion, and how I see it, they work for God in a manner. Their work is to minister and assist humanity, and yet they're restrained from helping us unless we ask. Now, if you're a prayerful person, then you're probably already getting much assistance from angels.
All right, so she's saying, I want to teach you how to access the help of angels.
Right.
And she's saying, don't pray to angels. And that's a scriptural concept that we should not do that.
You're right, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
But she's saying, if you're a prayerful person, then you're probably already in line, meaning you're asking God for help and God will send his angels.
Right.
But her point is, you want to have angels involved in your daily experiences. You really do. You really do. Let me show you how to do that.
And you want to ask for help from them.
Right.
Okay.
But you don't pray to them.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult. But here's the question, folks. Should angels be a part of our daily experiences? Because that's what she seems to be driving towards.
She does, yeah.
So, and you know, she mentioned, I'm not saying you should pray to angels. And let's just go to a scripture on that.
Matthew 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
All right, so it talks about praying to your Father, and we want to be very particular about that, that there is no scripture that talks about praying to angels.
You're right.
And so we need to be particular about...
Be careful.
And that's
Don't
the point.
Don't get tempted to do that.
Right. Because just because an angel, you might think, well, it's a step closer to us. That's not where we go to petition, according to scripture. All right, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on angels, and our website is ChristianQuestions.net.
And we're always talking on ChristianQuestions.net. The conversation does not end here, Rick.
That's right. This is just the beginning. And also, if you would like to send a comment via email, it's Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. So, Jonathan, Carol Tuttle is saying, okay, you want to learn how to access angels. And we're saying,
be careful.
Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Should we ask angels for help or favors?
Let's read John 14, verses 12 through 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
So there's no talk about asking angels for help here.
No.
And so we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful. Now, let's go to our next soundbite. This is a woman that's called the Angel Lady. That's what she goes by. This is in a segment called Talking with Angels. And she's explaining, she gives a little bit of her own life history, how she got into doing what she does. But her point in this short soundbite is going to be, angels speak to everybody. Let's listen.
Angels speak to everybody through feelings. People have these feelings they should do this or they shouldn't do that, or they hear certain things, and a lot of people put it aside and they go, oh, that's nothing, I will get around to it. But always encourage people to listen to that body, because your body is a psychic vehicle, and through gut feelings and knowingness, your angels are trying to communicate with you.
All right, so here's another take on angels. Angels speak to everybody through their feelings. Listen to your body, she says. It's a psychic vehicle. Through gut feelings and knowing this, that your body is a psychic vehicle, your angels are trying to communicate with you. Now, I'm going to have to take issue with that one. I'm sorry.
Be careful.
Well, and I think that's really the point here, is we want to be careful and prayerful in our approach to angels, because we're dealing with a realm. First of all, we believe absolutely that is real.
It is, but we don't know a lot about that realm.
And it's bigger than our physical earthly realm.
Yes.
It's more powerful than our physical earthly realm. It's stronger than our physical earthly realm. It's smarter.
But it's very tempting to enter areas that you really don't know.
Well, and this would be kind of exciting, you think? Yeah. I mean, if you come across somebody who says, hey, I can show you how. I can get you access to your angels. You're going, whoa, hey, that's pretty cool. And folks, we're just giving you a word of caution here, that when you deal with spiritual things, we have to be incredibly precise in how we approach this stuff.
We do have to remember the biblical experiences of demon possession. So there should be some concern and fear going into the unknown, Rick.
Right. And angels and demons are very similar.
Yes.
They are very similar. Now, when we see pictures of them, we don't see them as similar.
You're right.
Especially in pop culture. They're not similar in pop culture. But in reality, there's a similarity. But there's the vast difference is who they serve.
Ah.
And we'll get to that. We'll begin to unfold that as well. Here's the thing, Jonathan. The vast majority of the experiences of biblical characters happened without any noticeable intervention or mention of angels. When you look at the biblical characters in their lives, you don't see angels popping into their lives all the time.
No, you don't.
You see them doing what they're supposed to do. They succeed, they fail. They succeed, they fail. They keep going. This tells us that angels are meant to be pretty much invisible to our eyes and our minds.
Not to become our friends.
Because they're in the background. They appear when there is a great necessity, but not on a regular basis. That's the precedent that the Bible sets for us. Now, having that precedent, let's go back to the angel lady. Just hear her further develop her thoughts. But before we do that, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on angels, because we're taking a very specific a track here, and it's different, I think, than perhaps a lot of folks would be thinking.
And you're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick.
All right, let's go back to the angel lady inviting angels to help her.
When I was about 25, 26, I just suddenly got this feeling that we're all divinely protected and guided, and I had this feeling to paint a guardian angel. And I started to paint this guardian angel, and then invited the angels to be with me and to help me to be able to help other people. I helped one person, and that one person told another person, and that person told another person. And I've had barely any time to breathe since.
Now, you listen to that, and you think, come on, what could be wrong with that?
It sounds wonderful.
It does. It really, really does. I got this feeling that we're all divinely protected, so I invited the angels to be with me and to help me, and are they going to help her? So she can help other people. So that's what she does. She spends her life helping other people. this is, and you look at that, you say, well, how could there possibly be any danger in that? Well, folks, again, we're looking at biblical precedents to try to understand something that is beyond human understanding. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
All right, so here is an important scriptural perspective. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel. So, in other words, you have the God of this world intervening in this whole thing. So we've got the God of heaven, God, the God of this world, Satan, vying essentially in some ways for our attention. Who are you going to listen to?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. We're asking the question, what about angels? Coming up, near-death experiences. Do angels intervene?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what about angels? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And if you don't want to call but would like to share an experience, you can email us at Rick, R-A-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Jonathan, we want to go to another soundbite, actually, but before we do that, why don't we go to the phones first, because that way we'll get the continuity of the soundbite afterwards. So let's go to, what do we have now?
We have Marie from Tennessee. Good morning, Marie, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us.
I have a comment, and then I want to share with you that an experience that I had. First of all, as a Christian, I believe that we do we pray to our Lord Jesus, and He assists us by sending angels to help us. Also, you're talking about, I was listening to the part about the angel lady asking, you know, angels, and she said, listen to your inner body. Well, I believe that's the Holy Spirit guiding us. But my experience I wanted to relay to you is that a number of years ago, I've had some trouble with my car, pulled off the interstate, and I knew that there was no telephone, and that's before, you know, I didn't have a cell phone or anything at that time. And I was just praying, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden, this car just came up and stopped, and two very large men dressed in dark black suits, you know, just said, you need some help? And now, normally I would have been afraid, you know, to approach, but I had no fear. And I got in the back seat. They handed me their telephone, and I was able to call for AAA. And you know, when I got out of the car, and they said, all right, now, go back to your car and sit there and wait. And I watched them start to pull off, and then all of a sudden, it's like, the car was gone, and I knew that the Lord had sent these two angels to administer to me and to help me.
So, that was one of those experiences where you were in a lot of trouble that was beyond your ability, and you received help that you could not have planned for.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, thank you, Marie. We appreciate your experience and sharing it with us.
You're welcome.
And, Jonathan, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that, and we heard in the first hour from a woman who had similar experiences with her sense of God. And here's the message that's coming through. God is taking care of me. And I think that's a good message. And I just think that we want to be really careful in how we apply this and how far we go with it, because, you know, she was right. Marie said, you know, you don't pray to angels.
No, that's right.
And angels are not at our disposal. They are at the disposal of their chief. And we're not the chief, okay? There's a hint. So, Marie, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it and your willingness to share your experience. We're going to go to now another soundbite called Saved by Angels. It was from one of those science channels. I'm not sure which one. And they did this whole thing about children and angels and walking toward the light and all of that. So let's just listen to this part of a story.
A poolside accident left 2-year-old Ricky paralyzed and in a deep coma. While her family prayed for a miracle, Ricky believes she briefly entered a world where miracles do happen.
I looked behind me and I saw a guardian angel, and she had flowing golden color hair and she was wearing a white dress. She grabbed my hand and we started to walk down the tunnel. When we got towards the end, she asked me if I wanted to go through the light with her or if I wanted to go back. And I told her that I had to go back and tell my mom where I was going. And so I remember her walking me back and telling me not to be afraid.
Okay, so here you have a 2-year-old who is essentially delivered from death. You know, the concept of going toward the light, and that's very, 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 very common with near-death experiences, going toward the light. Now, does this account of this 2-year-old child have more credibility because it was a young child?
Because of the innocence of the child?
Right. And, you know, you got to wonder about that. Okay, they haven't been brainwashed by society. You know, that because earlier in the program we listened to a soundbite that said that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my take on that, and you can take this for what it's worth. But let me give you a personal experience, not with angels, but with my grandson. And I love talking about my grandson. I'll find any opportunity to talk about him. Dominic is 3 now, but when he was 2, around Father's Day, he gave me a Father's Day card for Grandpa, or Papa as he calls me. And on this card there were 3 superheroes.
Oh, I like superheroes.
You know, he picked it out and he was told, you know, this is Spider-Man, this is Green Lantern, and this is, I forget the other guy.
Had to be Superman.
Probably was. But he latched on to those superheroes, and sort of instantly he became Spider-Man. Now look, he looked at the card once, and from that day forward, he is Spider-Man. And it's so much fun playing Spider-Man with a 3-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Let me clue you. And I am Green Lantern.
Oh.
And, yeah, now nobody really knows what Green Lantern does. That's another story, though, okay? But he's a good guy. I checked him out on the internet because I had to find out. Anyway, the point is that the influence didn't have to be long and drawn out for him. It was very quick and very specific.
The memory of a child.
Right, and to this day, every night when he comes to say goodnight to me, he says, I say to him, goodnight, Spider-Man, and he says, goodnight, Green Lantern. And that's part of his reality. And it has become a part of his reality, and he didn't need to study it. He saw it once. That's the mind of a child, and these things become very real to us. Now, does that minimize the experience of this other child? No, I'm just saying that there are other things we need to put into consideration.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our question, what about angels? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
All right, we have Larry from Connecticut. Good morning, Larry, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you today?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, good. Better, I should say.
Better?
Yeah, I've been quite sick, but I'm okay.
Well, good. Good to hear it.
Yeah. You know, the Holy Angels, I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful topic this is. You know, they're a gift from God. And, we shouldn't pray or praise the angels or anybody else other than God, but we can invoke them. You know, if I can ask you to pray for me, I can most certainly ask my guardian angel to pray for me. And Jesus said that we all have them, you know. We all have guardian angels. I mean, their job is to get us back home, get us to heaven. You know, I think it was Daniel when he was in the lion's den prayed and St. Gabriel showed up And he said that St. Michael helped him get through the powers in Persia, if I'm correct.
Yes.
But I had an experience one time where I believed, I have to believe it was my guardian angel. I had fallen asleep with a cigarette, and somebody slapped me in the face. And I woke up, and I was angry, and I thought it was my wife, but it wasn't. She wasn't even in the room. A few minutes later, we would have been goners. But it saved my life and the life of my family. And was it an angel? I don't know. I hope it was. I believe it was something that, saved my life.
All right.
But when people invoke the holy angels, they need to say holy or saint. Like St. Michael the Archangel or St. Gabriel or my holy guardian angel. Always precede it with that. And if they have an experience, ask that angel to worship Jesus Christ. And believe me, if it's not a holy angel, they'll be gone. But thank you very much.
Larry, thanks so much.
Thanks, Larry.
So a couple of things that he said. Angels are God's gift, and that is true. And angels are given to watch over God's chosen. And we're going to get into some scriptures on that in a moment here. And so again, Larry has an experience that, perhaps he says could have been his guardian angel. Who knows? And his thought was, well, hope it was, because it essentially saved his life.
Sure.
So, folks, we're talking about angels. And this is a subject that's difficult because it's so big and it's in a realm that we just don't live in. So there's a lot of things that we're looking at that may be difficult to answer, but we need to get as close scripturally to our handling of the subject of angels as we can. So before we go back to the phones, Jonathan, let's just go to one or two scriptures here. Let's go to Psalm 91, 11 to 13. Who do angels watch over?
For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down.
All right, so they will bear you up. They're going to protect you. And that psalm specifically did refer to Jesus, very, very specifically. We can take its principle, though, and expand it. Let's look at Psalm 34:7, then we'll go back to the phones.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who revere him and rescues them.
Now, that's, I think, an important concept. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and they are protected. It doesn't say the angel, and this may come as a shock, but it doesn't say the angel of the Lord encamps around every human being.
That's interesting.
So we have to be careful about our generosity with God's angels. Again, this is an area we don't know that much about. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
We have Matthew 18:10. Their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. And my Irish Catholic Bible teacher used to say that when you stub your toe, it's your guardian angel trying to get your attention. And she said this to make us aware of God, of the reality of God in every moment of our lives. Acts 12:9. So he followed him out, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. So as angels herald the birth of Christ, Luke 2:10, the resurrection of Christ, Luke 24:23, and the ascension of Christ, Acts 1:11, our angels call us to be heralds as well in every moment of our lives, in every moment of the reality of our lives. Acts 5:19-20. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, go and tell the people everything about this life.
Okay, Randall, thanks so much.
God bless you.
Here, Randall brought up a number of instances where you have angelic intervention. And that really does bring us to our next point here. When did angelic intervention occur? There are very specific times in the scriptures. And we're just going to rattle through these. You can get these in detail with CQ Rewind, the full edition. Go to ChristianQuestions.net. This is the bonus material that we're going to feature this week.
Well, Rick, at key points when God's plan would be impossible to understand.
And we have examples of Abraham, Mary, and Zechariah for that. God's plan would have been impossible to understand without angelic intervention.
at key points when God's plan required specific prophecies to be written.
And we're just going to refer to Daniel and Zechariah. There were specific things they were supposed to say, and angels helped them do it.
Next, at key points when God's human messengers needed extra assistance.
So they were in a very deep waters. Elijah, Hagar, and Gideon are three examples of human beings who were given angelic assistance.
And at key points when God's plan was in danger of being thwarted.
All right. We have, and then we touched on the example of the apostles in prison, where the gospel needed to continue, so the angels freed them from prison.
And at key points when God's plan was to be expanded.
And we're reminded of Peter and Cornelius. You can get all of this material we just rattled through with CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net. Sign up for the full edition. It is a free service. It's a PDF file that will come to you once a week with the previous week's program. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
One more scripture here, Jonathan, before we go to the break. Let's go down to Matthew 26:53 with the question. Well, are angels at our beck and call? I mean, can we just call upon them to take care of business for us?
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels.
Now, you look at that scripture, and we look at that and say, wow, there's great encouragement in that.
And now, these are Jesus' words. He's
right,
speaking.
Right. Jesus is on trial for his very life. And he says, think that I can't go to my Father who'll give me 12 legions of angels? You notice Jesus doesn't say, don't you think I could get 12 legions of angels?
Ooh, that's interesting.
See, Jesus is here on trial for life, but he knows the angels are at the beck and call of the Father.
The proper chain of command, Rick.
Exactly. So angels, if Jesus had to go through his Father, certainly we must do the same.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our question, what about angels? Coming up, a woman who talks with angels.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. This is Christian Questions. Our subject this morning, what about angels? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, we are looking at, in our previous segment, we were talking about the how angels are active in our lives, and they're active primarily from a background standpoint. And the scriptures seem to indicate that they're active in the lives of those who believe in God. I mean, there are
followers of Jesus.
There are a number of scriptures that tell us that. So, and you think, well, so you're limiting God's angels, are you? No, we're just going by the scriptural description. And that's the one, because this is a spiritual realm that we are not familiar with.
It's hard, Rick.
And I want to be safe and stick with the scriptural description rather than expanding it on my own. Mm-hmm. Because, as you mentioned in the theme text, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That disturbs me. Every time I read that or think about it, it's like, ooh, that's not a good thing.
No.
So, again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. So, Jonathan, let's spend this segment looking at the question, how do you tell a good angel from a bad angel?
Let's read Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone.
What that tells us is angels don't know everything.
Gotcha.
All right? And I think that's an important factor here, because they have a great measure of knowledge, but according to that scripture, they don't know everything. 1 Peter 1:12 also tells us that.
It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel, to you by the Holy Spirit and sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
So there are things that angels would like to look into,
but can't.
So they have their limitations. All right? They are big, powerful, spiritual beings, but they obviously, according to these scriptures, have their limitations. This is important to know because an angel that comes to you with unlimited power and unlimited this or that or the other thing, you got to start to question what's the source of that angel.
Good See, point.
Satan has angels.
He does indeed.
Messengers. God has angels. Messengers. They can appear similar, but they're very different. It comes down to whom do they serve. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Let us know what you think.
So how can you tell the difference between a good angel and a bad angel?
All right, another scripture. Good angels always carry out the will of God without changing it, and then leave when their mission has been accomplished.
Galatians 1:8, let's read it. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed.
Now that's a strong statement.
Whoa.
So if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the gospel that the apostle was showing us, he's saying that angel is not from God.
So that's a fallen angel.
That's right. That's a bad angel impersonating a good angel.
Now it says from heaven. Now we know that Tartarus is the area in the atmosphere around the earth that they were limited to. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, that's getting into an area that it's going to be a little bit difficult for us to really expand. We're going to end up having to do another program talking about the bad angel side of things.
Gotcha.
Because as much as I don't like to talk about it, it's necessary because it's such an important part of this whole discussion. One more scripture, then we'll go to the phones.
Luke 2:12-14. This will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.
Good angels always praise and honor God. Always, always, always. And that's one way to tell a good angel from a bad angel.
Good point. Well, let's go to the phones, Rick. We have Peter from Connecticut. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Christian Questions.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I think it's something that we shouldn't try to figure out too much as you're doing something right, your character is good, you're worthy of that message from God. And God knows prior to in other words, I knew you before you were. I know the result already. I don't want to speak as that way, but God knows already the result of what's going to happen before it happens. And what you're doing to make you worthy is just something you've got to keep doing and just believe and trust. And I think you're going to know, you're going to feel whether something is from God or from the other side.
All right, Peter, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You know, and Peter makes a good point. But here's the point that we have to build upon that point that Peter made. So point upon a point, if you will. And that is, okay, you can know if you're already focused on God.
Good point.
See, if you're not already focused on God, then what you receive can sound good and can look good and could be a classic example of angels being transformed or Satan's messengers being transformed into angels of light. Very, very difficult. Jonathan, let's go back to sound bites. Let's go back to the angel later one last time because she talks about, and this is short, but she talks about where she gets her information from.
People often ask, where do I get my information from? And I always say it's light energy and it comes from the angelic realm. That's why I call it an angel reading, for I just see myself as a kind of a vehicle for the angels to be able to get the messages through.
Okay, so she says, you know, that she gets, this is a light reading. It's light energy and it comes from the angelic realm.
So she's talking with these angels.
Right, and she's getting information from these angels. And again, my question in all seriousness is, okay, wonderful. Which ones? Whenever we claim insight into any spiritual realm, we need to be absolutely sure which realm we're tapped into. We need to be absolutely sure that is a spiritual realm of goodness and not Satan, as the theme scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11:13-14, Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. It's got to be a realm of goodness and only comes from God. period. That this is a big, difficult, scary area that it we're getting into. Jonathan, why don't we quickly go back to the phones?
All right. We have Verna from Tennessee. Good morning, Verna, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, and I just want to say that I thank God for your wonderful program on the air.
Well, thank you.
I'll try to make this short. I do nursing, and I had this little patient one time, and she had to go into the hospital, and she was very low. In fact, they thought she was not going to make it, and she wouldn't eat. And one night in the night, this gentleman walked in the room. He was dressed in white, had black raving hair and blue eyes. And he leaned over to her and said, "You're not going to get out of here if you don't eat." He had something in his hand, and she opened her eyes and looked into his eyes. And he began to feed her some broth. And when he did that, he just walked out. Well, make a long story short, in some time she did recover. And when she left the hospital, she inquired of him because she wanted to know or to thank him for what he had done. She did ask him his name, and he said his name was Carl. They said, "There's no one here but that name." And she described him, and they said, "There's no one here even by that description, ma'am." So she said it had to be an angel.
All right.
She did recover and come home after that and lived a good while, but she always said it was an angel.
Verna, thanks. We appreciate your contributing.
Thank you, and
take
God
care.
Bless you all.
Thank you.
And so, again, Jonathan, we've had a number of experiences. And as a matter of fact, we had another gentleman call up from Kentucky who just, our call screener just said it was such an emotional thing he couldn't even finish and he couldn't go on the air because of it. A number of folks have called in and given us experiences, and you look at it and say, okay, what are these things? Could Carl have been a man? Of course he could have. Who knows? What we know is that he did a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And what we need to be careful of, though, in all of the context of all of the wonderful things that we're talking about, I hate to put water on the fire here, but we have to be careful that we are sure that the angels that we are thinking of and looking at and examining are angels of the true light and not the false light of Satan, who is the god of this world. And folks, if you have a thought, you really want to call right now, 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're running out of time.
And our website, christianquestions.net. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick.
And if you would like to give a comment but can't get in, please email us at Rick, R-A-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Jonathan, again, Satan is disguised as an angel of light, but his abode is in darkness. Let's look at Jude 1:6.
And angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
So he is kept in darkness, but he appears as an angel of light. It sounds like it contradicts itself.
It does.
But he only appears. He's not an angel of light, but he can take what appears to be light and bring it to us and can deceive us, therefore.
He's a counterfeit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely good way to describe it. This is the very darkness. That's what we fight against. It takes away from the true light of God's will and God's spirit and promotes the worship of the created, in this case the angels, not the creator. And that's one of the dangers, Jonathan. When we get to the point where the angels are everything, we've missed the point.
Ephesians 6:12 reads, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places."
So this is talking about a struggle. And folks, we've laid out a lot of different things in these 2 hours this morning about angels. We've laid out a lot of approaches. Some of them we look at and say, okay, that there can be some goodness in that. And some of them we're saying, hey, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Because this is a struggle of light against darkness. And this struggle is above our ability. And that's the key thing here. It says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. See, if it's flesh and blood, we could fight that.
We can see it. We can touch it. We can feel it.
It's on our own level. But against the rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness.
The unknown.
Forces of this darkness. It's big. It's strong. It's difficult. So remember, good angels are not at our beck and call.
That's right.
We already understand that. Good angels should not be part of our daily should not be part of our daily experience. That's the way it is with the angels in the scriptures, and we're going by the biblical principles only. We're cutting off our ability to discuss angels based on just what we see from the scriptures.
And based on that, we should not be asked for help. We should pray to God and pray through our Lord Jesus' name for assistance, and we'll see what his will is concerning that.
Okay. So as we begin to wrap this up, and folks, we apologize if we couldn't get you on here right at the very end. We are talking about we're talking about a number of different experiences that people have had with angels, and we've had a few people, folks call in, and a number of calls that we actually couldn't even take on the air that were giving us a sense of angelic intervention, if you will, and oftentimes at death's door and so forth, and in other people's experiences. We want to be careful that all of these experiences and all of these things are put in the perspective of Scripture. Really, that's the message here, folks. Do angels exist? Absolutely they do. Do angels protect those who are following after the will of God? Absolutely they do. Are angels accessible to you? Be careful. If God so wills it, absolutely they are. But are they accessible because we want them to be? No. The other side of this conversation, Jonathan, is the dark side. And, it sounds almost corny to say that, but there is a dark side of this, and we need to be careful. Romans 8:38, I'm convinced neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, keep that in your heart and in your mind as you look at this subject, this very real subject of the spiritual realm, what it means to us, and what our limitations are with it. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. We'll be back again next week with yet another subject, but until then, what about angels? Think about it.